at H&M, the entire world of digital product creation, from the design tools to development of asset creation like fabrics, trims, avatars, and all of them, to technological development like from asset management to building plugins or automations or whatever, they're all under one space. And I think that was one of the factors that I felt was quite successful. That's something that I feel like I would love to disclose to the world, is that that makes you be very optimized as a unit, and also that it makes you kind of work on common projects rather than individual projects.
Hello, everybody. Emma here, your host of the Interline podcast. Today, we're really excited to have Bhargava Ram Kumamuru, product manager heading the digital product creation team at H&M, on the show. In this episode, we discuss his definition of DPC in fashion as someone with a computational design background with a passion for technology. We discuss where H&M is on its DPC journey today, and also how he sees the general tech ecosystem for fashion maturing. Alongside this, we also get into a deeper conversation around AI and how it's found its way into almost every corner of fashion. We talk about whether the DPC community is looking at AI the right way, and also H&M's ethos and outlook going forward when it comes to technology. It's a really great conversation. Let's get into it now with Ram. A huge welcome to Bhargava Kumamuru, who is the product manager heading the digital product creation at H&M. Could you please just start by introducing yourself? And I'd love to know a little bit more about your career and how you ended up in your current role. I know a little bit about you. You've mentioned to me that you started your career as a computational designer in architecture with a passion for technology, who landed serendipitously in fashion. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about your journey.
It was actually like, I like that, you know, the story of the computational design part. It's actually like one of my friends, she forced me to go for an architectural lecturer. And the architectural lecturer was about this guy called Winnie Maas. He's from Netherlands. I think Winnie Maas is one of the very famous architects in the industry. And he actually spoke about the future of 3D, AI, and all this kind of cool stuff. And back at the time, I was doing engineering. And I was like, holy shit, this is actually pretty cool stuff. And I actually ended up dropping out of my master's instantaneously. And I started actually just figuring out how to start my career in design and 3D and AI. And then I stumbled upon an opportunity to work as a computational designer in architecture. And that's actually how it all started. And from there on, one of the girls was in the lab, actually. She went for 3 months internship to Adidas. Her name is Maya, and she's actually presently working at On Running right now. Yeah, and then she actually ended up like recommending me at Adidas, and then that's how I got into fashion. So in some way, I started enjoying the part of like bringing those technologies together with creative designers, and then kind of connecting the dots together, scalability. And that was a journey at Adidas where I learned a lot. And then I got into H&M, and then I was like, okay, actually, you know what? Maybe I should go for more leadership roles. Can I enable a group of talented individuals to do cool stuff by being more in the manager role? And I started doing that at H&M. And now, yeah, I'm heading major part of digital product creation, as industry knows, connected to everything related to 3D design, pattern making, product components like fabric streams, avatar developments. So the end-to-end development of digital product creation, I kind of take over right now.
That's fantastic. And how do you actually define digital product creation, DPC? So DPC is an acronym that everyone has aligned on, but it's actually a term that has a lot of different definitions, a lot of start points and end points. So in your experience, does DPC look any different in fashion compared to other industries? Because as we've just talked about, you've had a different career. And I'm just interested to know how you define it and how it's maybe changed over time in your experience.
I think from a fashion perspective itself, from the time I took on the space, I often in every deck or presentation to my management team, I always tell that digital product creation is not 3D product creation. I think that has been one of the struggles in the industry, that everybody thinks digital product should be 3D. And I'm like, it's not real. It's a digital product. It could be an Illustrator sketch, or it could be a Photoshop sketch or anything. 3D is just one form of representation of a product creation from a digital perspective. And when you look in the industry, it's kind of the same. But the major difference between, if you look at automotive, I mean, I always say the story is that every technology kind of starts from VFX, then goes to automotive, then goes to furniture, then goes to fashion. Like that's how the always any technological adaptation has been in the past few decades. But the fact is, when you look at the closest relationship that we could have in the digital product creation industry is actually furniture, like IKEA. But every brand is also kind of different. So the way I look at digital product creation is always like, make the best digital representation of a physical product that you can actually productize. That for me is the base definition of it. And then additional interest that I have on top of it is try to make it that you can actually increase the life cycle of the digital asset. So rather than just using it for internal processes, can we go towards like e-commerce, marketing, or also even internal mood boarding and different places. So productization with the combination of increase in lifestyle is usually how I define DPC.
Okay. No, that's fantastic. That's a really comprehensive view of it. And yeah, I agree with that sort of timeline that you mentioned, you know, where fashion kind of is the last point. It's not the least point, but that does make sort of sense to me how you've defined it there. And although it's not a straightforward thing to benchmark because every brand's ambitions and targets and resources are different, I want to get a bit into how you would say what you do at H&M. Where are you today in the DPC journey? We can address this at a high level. You know, what have your major successes been, and what didn't work out the way you thought it might? And I know this is going to come from your experience. It can be, you know, touching a bit on your work at H&M, but I kind of want to know about your perspective, you know, how this journey has been. And it can even be a broader sort of perspective on where the fashion industry is in terms of DPC.
I think one of the funny things that I realized after kind of like joining H&M, or like in the past, now it's been like 4 years in the brand. Whenever I go for any of the events, one of the major pain points that everybody talks about is adaptation towards 3D and technologies and stuff. And the weirdest sense at H&M, we actually don't have that as our major problem. And in the reason being is also that when the 3D tools were introduced, that was even before my time, nobody thought about like, oh, we need to actually onboard a specific department or section and then kind of scale it from there. They just gave it to everybody and people started using it, and you know, everybody started getting adopting into it. So it's like when I came into the brand, it's not like, oh, people are just using 3D and there's no talk about adaptation of a tool. But the con of that approach has also been that is we didn't have standardization. We didn't have the foundations because we went very fast in the world of 3D or digital product creation assay. But so it for me, the challenge is a whole different ballgame where I was like, okay, as the people are using the technology across the brands, including portfolio brands and everywhere, how can I actually accelerate this technological landscape of foundations in order to support the design teams? So my challenge is a completely different ballgame I had to figure out at Adidas compared to when I see with other companies who are kind of facing the world of 3D.
Okay. That's quite a curveball, I guess. Would you say it's been, how was that for you? Would you say it was very challenging, or what did you find your feet quite quickly with all of that?
Yeah, that's a different kind of a challenge. And it also means that when you want to hire people, it's a different type of resource hiring. So I was the first person who joined H&M from a technological background. So then I had to hire a lot more technological people because we are falling behind on tech part. So the challenges that I had to create are maybe more than challenges, the opportunities that I had to create was different to the situation that I expected to be in. And that also means that's why I say is that the success of any brand is you need to understand what kind of brand you are and what state you are in. So there's no like a formula that somebody can join a fashion brand and say, I'm going to make DPC happen here. Not really. What I have done at Adidas, it doesn't at all work working at H&M. H&M is also a place where you have your own stores. Adidas and other companies have selling stores. So we don't have the need of selling the 3D or digital product to somebody else. We have to sell it to ourselves. So our challenges were different compared to other brands that I worked with. And from there on, we had to figure out what plan actually best fits for H&M as a fashion brand, which is trying to compete with the market against the brands that actually it makes sense against to work with.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And now we've briefly touched on this, but you know, every company has its own unique points. Every company is different. So scaling is also going to be something that is different. So what in your mind are the prerequisites to taking the work you've put into digital so far and then making it an even bigger pillar of the way the company works in general?
One of the things that I learned through my time, and I feel like now at H&M, often we talk about it, is ecosystem. Often many brands, they try to do individual projects around DPC, like, okay, let's do this footwear project here, or let's do this apparel project here with 3D. Let's do a fabric 3D library. Let's do a print library there. Let's connect this to PLM system and so on. So often at the brand, what we have done, and I feel that one of the differentiating factors that we have tried to go for is we created an existing ecosystem like, okay, we need foundational assets. So we need your foundational assets. This is how we produce them. Who should be producing them? Whether should we produce it in-house? Should we go with external collaboration? But that's like a strategy for digital asset creation, like fabrics, trims, avatars. And then we were like, okay, where do we need to store them? But we cannot think from 3D point of view. We should also think from prints. How do we handle in-house prints, bought prints, licensed prints? How do we get those digital assets into the experience? So we actually looked at always at the ecosystem of saying, and the ecosystem also included what is user-facing and what is not user-facing. So we started with the idea of like, this is the landscape, this is the ecosystem. What technologies, what processes, what methodologies fits into this world that we had to accommodate towards? I think that usually is where many companies start failing, is when they either split themselves into smaller departments or they end up like doing individual projects to showcase rather than looking at the entire scalability and enterprise level applications.
Okay. Yeah, no, that tracks. I'm wondering now if you can talk a bit about where you see the general tech ecosystem for fashion maturing. So we've spoken a bit about H&M now, but I'm wondering about the other end of that, where there are elements that brands perhaps have in common when it comes to technology pipelines. So where do you think brands have things in common, and where would that general tech ecosystem have space to mature?
One element that I believe and every brand needs to start focusing, which I surprisingly don't see a lot of brands in the world yet doing, is actually centralizing asset management. That I feel has always been a central issue across brands, that they don't basically get all these assets into a single location. And from there, building the technological layers on top of it. So when you start actually understanding that you need to look from end-to-end perspective, that technological landscape there, and you centralize your assets, and then you link your centralized assets with your PLM system, because often also a lot of brands, they say that, okay, let's make the PLM system to be your asset management system. That actually doesn't work. PLMs is different, DAMs are different. So I think the foundational layer of establishing a very strong DAM and PLM, and then building layers on top of that, is what I see the brands that have been more successful towards. Like when I look at Adidas, or if I look at what even Hugo Boss is trying to do, and a lot of other brands trying to do, I feel like that's where they're trying to be quite good at, is looking from centralization point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a key pillar of success. Absolutely. I do agree with you there. And, you know, all of those things, you know, PLM, DAM, those have been pretty much part of the DPC ecosystem for a while now. I can't say exactly how many years, but, you know, it's not really a new thing. It's kind of been in the framework for, I'd say, the past 20 years. But what is new is artificial intelligence and how it's kind of infiltrated the fashion industry and is really influencing a lot of things in every way. Also, I know AI isn't new, and this is an area that I know you know a lot about. So I'm very interested to know about your perspective when it comes to AI. So, you know, as I mentioned, it's found its way into almost every corner of fashion, from design to warehouse operations and logistics and so on. And it's also making some big inroads into DPC. So how do you see the two different strands of technology coming together in design, development, visualization, and storytelling? And is the DPC community in fashion looking at AI in the right way through your eyes?
AI is a topic that's very dear to my heart. I think I still remember building my own AI in 2013, 2012, back at the times. But when it comes to AI, I feel like I already split this thought process into two. One, how does an enterprise brand do AI? And that's where, like you spoke about, right? They're saying that it's like 20 years DAM and PLM have been there. But surprisingly, we still don't do it properly in the brands. And if you don't have centralized DAM and PLM, you can't really do AI because you have no data to actually build AI on top of it. What part of AI, again, in the world of AI also, there are different things from machine learning to now generative AI with NLPs, and then you have AI agents. But when it comes to generative AI as a topic itself, I feel also brands need to look at like which part of the process you want to do generative AI. Like often they talk about, oh, we can't do AI for marketing and e-commerce. That's true, but you can do AI for I always say, like, you know, imagine you do mood boarding and ideation. You kind of go to Pinterest, you go to Google, you go to different locations, you get images from. So you can do the same for AI there. But the part of AI that interests me the most, or makes me extremely passionate, is agentic AI. That's kind of came from kind of like towards end of last year, mid of last year, kind of a thing. And agentic AI is something that I personally believe is going to change the way we create products or fashion or anything. Because agents can do both classical automations, like they can do cropping of an image, to doing basic things using Photoshop APIs or Illustrator APIs. But they also actually can do is use generative AI on top of it. So you can go to an AI agent and say, hey, could you actually create an image for me? And once it creates it, could you put it on a product for me? And then it can put it on a product for you. And then you can say, can you crop this image? So now it's not really doing AI. It's actually using Photoshop to do background filtering or something. And then next step would be something more. And I think this is what makes agentic AI extremely powerful, but also extremely cost conscious, because the cost of building this and developing them is going to cost you like 60-70% cheaper than how you do classical methods in the past. So agentic AI is the one I feel is going to start disrupting not just fashion industry, but any product industry.
Right. I also agree. It's a really, really interesting one. And I wanted to get your opinion on this. We've actually just written a newsletter that came out today with the topic being agentic AI. And our focus there was actually on selling. So we were wondering, we were asking our readers, do we think there's ever a point where a consumer will go from A to B using agentic AI? So, you know, you approach your agent and you say, you know, I want to buy XYZ, go and purchase it and, you know, pay for it, ship it, done. So obviously, and now I'm looking a bit more on the consumer facing side, but do you think there's a case for that? I do think, you know, in the sort of business operation way, it's, I agree, cost effective, and I really see the case for it. On the consumer facing side, I would say there has to be a lot of trust in a brand first. What do you think? Would you trust an agent, an AI agent, to shop for you?
Actually, I mean, it always boils down to like what kind of a brand you're looking for and what kind of selling. So I would actually not mind to have an agent. It would make my life much easier to have an agent doing your shopping for me. I'll put it in this way, right? So I use ChatGPT like as my default search engine everywhere. I stopped using Google and everything for a while now. I only use ChatGPT and all these engines. And once I got understanding about how to use these engines, my perception towards how I do search and how do I buy products or how do I search for products have completely changed. I feel that I have way more options now on my hand than I ever did before, because I don't need to go to a specific website and searching. I can basically ask for it and get a recommendation. And if I want to refine, then I can go to the specific site and do some more research. But the options it provides and the kind of flexibility it provides is actually exponentially more than if I were to look from a specific consumer. And then imagine if I want a t-shirt for like $10 And then another site was selling a similar looking t-shirt for like $5. But it was impossible for a human to understand that. But now agent can just find two options and just tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you trust it to check out for you and ship it, you know, all of that?
And in fact, actually, I wouldn't mind because,
okay.
Because again, an agent, if this is like, if the difference is, if you look at ChatGPT and all of them, they're all generic agents, like big ones where they're just scrapping through internet. But if a brand builds an agent in a specific controlled manner that you provide an agent a specific tools to use, you can restrict itself so that it cannot go beyond those usage of tools and being within the confined space of working in it. So you can be quite ethical, quite protective, quite careful in how what it is curating and how it is saying what it is curating also.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's encouraging to hear. And I suppose you are, like myself, an AI sort of enthusiast, a technology enthusiast. So I do think that it's going to become more mainstream. Obviously, we are optimists. So it makes sense that, you know, we would think that. But I do see it becoming much more mainstream and people having the same, you know, beliefs and sort of views and trust and finding the convenience, like you said, in ChatGPT or other kind of models like that. So we've now discussed AI and we can touch on that a bit more, but I'm wondering where you see the DPC landscape changing over the next 5 years and whether it's going in the right direction. Because it seems that there's a lot happening and there are a lot of new technologies coming in, but at the same time, things aren't perfect with the current systems, as we've mentioned. So what do you think? Where is it going? Are things going right? Or is there a different way we should be going? And when I say we, I mean brands in general.
Yeah, I think the major shift is kind of getting kicked off now in the past maybe couple of years is during pandemic times, obviously DPC had one of the exponential growth in many brands where they had the fundings and the financials and everything. But in the present volatile market, the level of fundings and financials that brands have, if you look at any brand right now, in the past 2 years, I can name very few brands that actually have been consistently successful. So cost consciousness is going to hit quite heavily. There won't be that much of funding into this area. And because also when you talk about DPC in most of these brands, they're for internal efficiency. They're not really for customer facing. They're not really yet on a scalable level actually solving those problems. So with that mindset, what's going to happen is cost is going to be taking a huge hit. So what major shift I'm going to start seeing is we're going to make very tactical and thoughtful, scalable investments in the world of DPC in the years to come. And the brands that will do smart investments will be able to scale. And the ones that will not be able to do that and they'll continue to try to just, you know, spend the money in a project-based approach, they will start struggling a lot to actually explain to their top manager, C-level, C or V-level positions, and then actually get the more funding behind the project, and they'll go through a lot more reorganizations and a lot more impacts. So I think understanding scalable cost-conscious models in the world of DPC is critical. It cannot be just looked as cool tools doing creative stuff and everything. It has to talk about how can I make the best version of a physical product to create a digital product from there. I think that's the one key element I'm going to start seeing the shift there. And the second shift is going to come is definitely because of AI. I'll give an example is imagine in the past 2 years back, a lot of brands, a lot of forward-leaning 3D brands, fashion brands were like invested into 3D, they started building a lot of render pipelines, automated pipelines and everything. And this kind of costs a lot of money because you have to have a 3D artist who's building a scene. You need to have a backend thing. You have to build an Azure whole architecture. You have to do a lot of stuff behind it. It's cost a lot of money. But with the development of AI, you can do post-compositing without the need of that much of cost of CPU, GPUs and everything. So we are also going to enter a very interesting field where AI is going to cost optimize what we have now. And the brands that are kind of ahead of time, they have a legacy of old 3D rendering pipelines and costs that they have to figure out how to reduce down. And the ones who have not done anything till now, they will be able to do them with much more optimized cost. So it's a very interesting landscape we're entering where the new players will have way more advantage if they are done very well with the world of AI.
Right. And I guess it's going to be a core business, not function, but it's going to be part of the core makeup of a fashion business. Do you think the AI bubble for that reason is not going to burst? Because I'm hearing whispers on the wider level, but you know, by the way you're describing it, it's going to be so useful for many, many people in fashion. So, you know, I assume that it's going to be the same for the rest of the world. Yeah. Do you think it's a bubble that's going to burst, or is that just a rumor?
I mean, at least the way I see it, the bubble, the part it's going to burst is the exponential growth of startup companies that are presently there. That bubble will be bursting soon because there are too many people who have companies who are doing nothing exclusive that other companies cannot do. So those kind of bubble bursts will definitely happen soon. But at the same time, if you see like companies like Adobe, Nvidia, Microsoft, Google, and all of them, they are starting to jump onto it and make it more scalable, make it more adaptable. So I think there is both tracks I'm seeing, a track where there's going to be a bubble burst, but the other companies are smartly already investing into this and already making it more enterprise and production level happening at the same time. I think we're just going to reach the crossroads more than actually say that it'll just won't work, but it'll just reach the crossroads where the use cases will become more productized and production level afterwards.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And is there anything else that you can share with us about your own career or about any other developments at H&M that we should look out for? Anything that's not too secret, that's upcoming that you can share with us?
I mean, obviously not into the details of that like part of it, but I can definitely say this, right? So one of the things that I feel also been quite successful at H&M that I enjoyed the most is, again, I have friends from different brands. I talk to all of them. At H&M, the entire world of digital product creation, from the design tools to development of asset creation like fabrics, trims, avatars, and all of them, to technological development, like from asset management to building plugins or automations or whatever, they're all under one space. So my team is a combination of 3D artists, developers, business experts, experienced designers, UI, UX, everyone. And I think that was one of the factors that I felt was quite successful, or something that I feel like I would love to disclose to the world, is that makes you be very optimized as a unit. And also that it makes you kind of work on common projects rather than individual projects. And that is something that I would love to share always, that, right? That how we are just one unit doing this for an entire brand, one of the largest fashion brands in the world, like H&M. And I feel that made us quite good at what we do.
Absolutely. You and I have spoken a bit before about that collaborative nature, which is difficult in a business like fashion, I think. And I think it's pretty refreshing that you have that outlook. Obviously, there are certain things which you can't do because, you know, of all kinds of restrictions you might have in place. But I really appreciate your open attitude and your attitude about collaboration and how the industry really needs to work together in these different ways to solve problems, to be more creative, to embrace technology. And that's why it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. I really thank you for your time. And I hope that you enjoyed sharing some insights with us, especially around AI and also about your work. It's been fascinating, Ram. So thank you.
Again, Interline is like quite famous. I think anybody in the world, see, I've been there, knows Interline. And I was also like very glad when you reached out and asked like, and you want to be part of the podcast. It's like, that's actually quite an honor to be.
Oh.
So I feel also very humbled that I got the opportunity to share some of my insights connected my experience in this space.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you for that.
I really hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ram. I found his insights incredibly valuable, especially his perspective on how AI will intersect with DPC and also integrate with wider business functions. As technology continues to play a bigger and bigger role in fashion, conversations like these are essential for understanding the opportunities and challenges ahead. If you want to keep updated with H&M and the latest on how they are using technology. Follow them across their social media platforms. You can also connect with Ram on LinkedIn, where he shares snippets of his work life at H&M, along with wider industry updates. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and see you in the next episode.